Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Today, our guest is Michael Shackelford, the Wizard of Odds. He's talking about the new version of his book, Gambling 102, among many other subjects. Mike Shackelford, welcome back to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks for having me back.
All right. So, Gambling 102 came out a number of years ago. How is the new book different than the old book?
Well, I'm proud to say that the book was completely rewritten. The only thing that stayed the same are the Ten Commandments of Gambling. This book has new chapters on some new games that weren't covered in the first edition. For example, it covers Crazy Four Poker, Face Up Pigou Poker, High Card Flush, Mississippi Stud, Pigou Tiles, not that that's a new game, and Texas Hold'em Bonus, and Ultimate Texas Hold'em. And we sacrificed some other chapters too, like Caribbean Stud, games that have gone out of style.
So why not change the title to 103 or something else?
Well, the premise behind the title is that there are so many books on the shelf at an introductory level for casino gambling. And my book strives to be a level above that. It's for the player that already is familiar with the rules of the game and probably has some experience with it, and it's just trying to up his game a bit. Now, I haven't ruled out writing a Gambling 103 that would be more of like a James Grosjean kind of book that would really get into depth with games and advantage play and things like that. But at this point, no one has asked me to write such a book. And I'm sure many people would specifically not want me to write it.
I can't imagine someone asking you to write a book. I've never had someone ask me to write a book. Most people, I think, write the book because they want to write it.
Yeah, as was the case with this one. No one ever asked me to, and it was very difficult to get it going.
I've actually been asked to do the third version of my video poker sex novel. I have been asked to.
Yeah. One person. I think I was here when.
Oh, no. It's much bigger than that. It's at least two.
Well, I would certainly be happy to read it. Can you give the listeners a taste of what might happen after?
This is a family show.
Yeah.
hell. No, I have no clue. I have not thought of it. I've had a number of people suggest where I should go with it. The last one was written like 15 years ago. So maybe we'll put them with walkers into an old folks home and have them pay full pay deuces. I don't know what we're going to do.
They could be but, bingo advantage players.
All right. So I'm not, that one's not in the works at the current time, but who knows? All right. Now, sports betting. How is, sports betting is a lot different now with a lot of new venues and stuff. How is the new version of sports betting in your book different than the old version?
Completely rewrote it. With sports betting, things get kind of outdated quickly. So all the data in my sports betting chapter is up to date, up to the time of the writing. And it takes an angle kind of like sharp sports betting, like by Stanford Wong, where it's written towards the sharp bettor that doesn't handicap. And it's looking to show which is the good side of games to bet, underdog or favorite, home or away, and it looks at football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and basketball, and it cuts things different ways. It also talks about teasers, parlay cards, and just gives general advice for sports betting.
Is the information in the book similar to what's found on the Wizard of Odds website, or is it not?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I think everything in the book can be found on my website somewhere. But here you have it all in one nice little small book, all the basics. It doesn't have all kinds of appendices and go into great depth of stuff like my website does.
All right. So how is video poker different in this book than it was in the old book?
Well, I might be covering some of your ground here with video poker, but What I endeavored to do with my video poker section is simply list lots of different games and different pay tables that you frequently encounter and what the return is, so that the recreational gambler may not remember what is a good deuces wild pay table, but if they have this book, they will immediately know the good from the bad, say deuces wild pay tables, as well as a whole host of other games. And it also gives a basic strategy for 9-6 jacks or better and NSU deuces. And it talks a lot about player reward programs. So yeah, that is the gist of the video poker section.
Now,
Can we stop just a second? Hold on.
How about video keno? Anything new on that?
I am proud to say that as far as I know, this is the first coverage of video keno in writing. And much like the video poker section, what it does is it breaks down the different games like regular spot keno, triple power keno, Cleopatra keno, caveman keno, extra ball keno, and so on. So no matter what the game, it will list all the major pay tables that you might encounter out there and indicates the return. So much like the video poker example that I just said about what is a good or a bad deuces wild pay table, this will tell you for any common keno game, what is a good, what is a medium, what is a bad, say, caveman keno game.
What is the best return you can get on any keno game?
That's a good question. So my book will show you that it gets about as good as 94%, sometimes a little bit more, but I don't think I've ever seen anything. Wait, here's one. Here's a pick eight pay table at 90. No, that's, yeah, here's one at 94.81%. That's about as good as it gets with video keno.
And do you happen to know what they rate keno at as
the Theo?
No.
No clue? No. And how bad does it get?
Oh, it gets pretty bad, down to about 85%, like what you might find at the Las Vegas airport.
Huh.
So, I mean, my advice for keno players would be really simple. Just don't play it at all. But if you must play it, at least this will teach you a good pay table from a bad pay table.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking, like, if the return, if the house edge is anywhere between 5 and 15%, if they were rating it at 10% Theo, and you're playing a 5% game, well, that obviously would be a good thing.
Right? I think they probably rate it the same way they do reeled slot machines, because they have a very similar return.
Okay. Well, good luck on your new book. You were at the Resorts World.
Wait, before we move off the book, okay. I just wanted to ask about Paigao Tiles. You decided to cover Paigao Tiles?
Yes, I kind of had to beg my publisher, Anthony Curtis, to put in a Paigao Tiles chapter.
I heard of Anthony.
And he probably wasn't crazy about the idea, because there's not too many Paigao Tile games out there, and I think...
Well, there are in the card rooms in California.
That is true. That is true. Here in Vegas, though, the number keeps getting less and less. So for those who aren't familiar with it, Paigao Tiles, and I emphasize the tiles, is a game played with 32 what look like dominoes, but the structure of the game is similar to Paigao Poker, where each, the dealer and the player, get four tiles. You separate them into a high pair and a low pair of tiles, and then you go against the dealer and try to beat the dealer both ways. And if you do, you get even money, let's say 5% commission. Now, where it gets really complicated is, number one, the order of the hands. It starts out with the pairs, and then it goes through something called wongs and gongs, and then it becomes like baccarat. Now, that may not sound so complicated, but let's say both sides have a high nine hand or a nine-point hand. Then you have to look at the highest ranking tile to break the tie, and there is a whole order that simply must be memorized of these tiles, and it doesn't follow any kind of logic or reason. It seems it's simply just an order of 16 tiles that must be memorized. And the strategy is no piece of cake either. There's all kinds of borderline situations. And but in my book, I'm proud to say that I have a strategy that I work very hard on my website. And yeah, I consider Paigao Tiles to be kind of a niche game for me. It's something that I am proud to have shed a lot of light on. And before I wrote about Paigao, you almost never saw a non-Asian at the table. And now I would say you see about 25%. And usually when you do, they learned it from me.
Wow.
And what is English an acceptable language at a Paigao tile table?
You don't hear it a whole lot. Usually the players and the dealers will be speaking to each other in Chinese. Now, it often happens where one player will speak one Asian language and the dealer another one, in which case they'll have to revert to English. But yes, you don't often hear English at the tables. And if I were to sit down at a table full of Asians, they're probably not going to like it. And I can kind of tell by the way they're gesturing and toning their voice that they're saying bad stuff about me. Like, you know, this white guy is bringing bad luck to the table. I hope he leaves. Stuff like that.
Can the players still bank
Paigao? Yes.
Even in Vegas?
Yes, they can. And one nice thing about that is here in Vegas, it alternates between it rotates around the table, unlike Paigao poker where it alternates. So if you have a table to yourself, you can bank every other hand. But remember to be aggressive about asking for it. Not many players do. So, and the dealer is probably not going to remind you that it's your turn. So yeah, be forceful about invoking your right to bank when it's your turn.
And can you get an edge banking?
No, it's just about a break-even game when you're banking. But of course, you have to play those hands where you're not banking too. And I'm not claiming that Paigao tiles is any kind of a good advantage play. But if you're looking for a slow game with low volatility that has an Asian kind of elegance to it, I think it's a very fun, sophisticated game to play. So I enjoy it for the game itself as opposed to it being a great bet.
Well, but also, if you're break-even on banking, again, depending on what they're rating your Theo,
mm-hmm.
it may be a way to generate Theo.
Yes, and some players do that. It is, because it's so slow, it is a good Theo-generating game, and one way you can do that is pack the table with your friends, and when, say, one of your friends is banking, no one else bets against him because they say, well, you know, I don't want to win my friend's money, so you're really hardly ever playing. And some casinos are onto that trick and others are not. And the players who do this generally know which supervisors don't cut your rating because you're slow playing it so much.
Yeah.
Now, but I should add that some players think it looks fishy for white players to be playing the game at all, that it makes you look too smart. And that might be a red flag that you're an advantage player.
Okay. Resorts World.
Yep.
You were in there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it. What'd you find?
Okay. Well, I should say that the video poker there was pretty generous, as well as the...
this is New York we're talking about?
Yeah. This is.
I thought New York had fake video poker.
They do in the racinos.
That's what we're about to talk about.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I should probably be asking you this. I encountered one game there called Draw Poker Double Double Bonus. It had a 9-6 pay table, except the Royal Flush paid $5,000 for a 5-coin bet. And
it's a quarter percent difference.
Yep.
And, half percent difference, excuse me.
Okay, but there's another rule that said, okay, at the end of the hand, it would draw a random card. And if that random card dealt from a separate deck matched the card in the fifth position, then you got a bonus that could be any of the wins from Jacks or better all the way up to a Royal Flush.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be a 1 in 52 chance of getting this bonus. And this is not something that you had to pay an extra coin for. It was free. So before we consider that bonus, if we assumed a random game, the return would have been 99.52%. And then if you add 1 divided by 52, assuming you always
got
the lowest
99.52 with the 5,000 coin Royal? It's 99.54 with a 4,000 coin Royal. It's about 100% even with a 5,000 coin Royal.
I thought 9-6 double double bonus was...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going jacks. Never mind.
Okay.
9-6 double double starts out as 98.98.
Okay. Right. Okay. So, yeah. So, if you add 99.52 plus 1 divided by 52, you get 101.44%.
Uh-huh.
So, you might be thinking, well, this is a great bet, but... There's a tiny little sign on the machine that says, lottery game, results not affected by elements of skill.
Uh-huh.
So...
So you were at a racino.
Yes. So okay.
This is a 94% game, folks.
Well, perhaps you know more about it than I do.
Well, yeah, the games are set by the taxing commission in New York. This is the way they balance their budget, and they tax somebody else's vice, and apparently there's no video poker players among the New York State government. But you get, if you're dealt a straight and throw one of the cards away, magically another card will appear to give you the straight.
Mm-hmm.
And so it determines what it is. The cards are not dealt fairly, where to a video poker player, what fair means is each of the unseen cards has an equal probability of appearing. And so that's just not the case here. It is definitely a biased deal. The state determines this is a 94 or 95% game, and you're welcome to play it. Good luck. Have fun.
Well, thanks for that explanation. I should add, though, that they, in this enormous casino, which, by the way, is the closest casino to New York City, and it's right next to the Aqueduct racetrack, they did have one little room for video poker, and it did seem to have some normal video poker machines that did not have this little warning sign on them, but the pay tables were suspiciously good for a casino that has a monopoly. Like, it had 9-6 jacks or better, except the straight flush paid 60 instead of 50. And I think that they were game kings, so I'm wondering if they changed the law and they now allow fully random video poker, but this draw poker double-double bonus game was just a holdover from the old law. Do you know anything about it?
Do not know that. The fact that possibly Game King, which is the IGT box, does produce games for New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're in New York, they follow New York laws.
Okay. All right. Well, that's about all I know about that topic.
Okay.
Have you been working on any other advantage plays to tell our audience about?
Yes, I have found a little one at the Five Dimes Internet Casino. You can bet whether or not the Powerball or the Mega Millions will be hit on any drawing. And I find betting the no to be basically like a no safety bet in the Super Bowl. You have to lay a lot of odds, typically about 9-1, but for most jackpots, I figure the probability of it hitting is only about 5%. And this does, of course, depend upon the jackpot amount. But I have never seen a situation where I detected a house advantage by betting that the jackpot would not be hit. And plus, they also allow pretty big bets on it. I think that you can bet enough so that you could win $500. Like, you might lay $5,000 to win $500. I believe that's where their limit is, but I don't have enough in my account to fully check it. So, yeah, if you're the kind of person who likes bridge jumper bets like I do, I'm detecting routinely a player advantage of about 4% on these bets. And I'm probably going to ruin it now by talking about it, but
you know, we didn't talk to you about this before you came on, but have you looked at predictit.org?
No.
So, well, you might like, because you like bridge jumper bets. So one of our sponsors is now a site called predictit.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a betting exchange for the elections.
Mm-hmm.
Not just ours, but you can bet on foreign stuff too. Like, mm-hmm. will Brexit happen, and you know, all these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's an exchange, there are often big advantages, but on things that aren't going to be decided until November.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will Hillary Clinton be the next president, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she's trading at you know, five on a $1 contract, right? So you're laying 95-5, but you know that's probably a big edge if you're willing to tie up your money until November. So, and it's not for huge money, but anyway, it sounds like it would be up your alley. Might be something you might enjoy looking at.
Yeah, I look at Betfair all the time, which sounds like a similar site, and I always bet thousands and thousands of dollars on every presidential election, and I always look at Betfair to see what are the going odds, and then I try to get better odds just among my friends.
Right, well, and Predict It is legal, and for our listeners, they have a $20 match on your first deposit.
Are they U.S. player friendly?
Yeah, yeah.
Can absolutely. I deposit in Bitcoin?
No, I don't think so.
I love Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But getting back to the lottery, you might ask, Mike, how do you set a fair line for these odds? And I have looked at ticket sales by jackpot amount for every single Powerball and Mega Millions lottery. And you can see that with both of them, that there is an exponential relationship between the jackpot amount and ticket sales up until about jackpots of about 400 to 500 million, where it starts to develop more of a logarithmic relationship. And on my website, I have what I call the lottery ticket sales calculator, where you can simply put in the jackpot amount, either click on Mega Millions or Powerball, and it will give you the estimated ticket sales, what is the probability of somebody winning, and the expected number of people winning. And that's what I use to determine what is a fair line on nobody hitting the jackpot. And like I said, I'm always perceiving value on no winner. Unfortunately, I just lost that bet on the last Mega Millions. Someone hit it.
Well, you're going to. I bet a lot of no safeties in Super Bowls, and there was that run of something like 7 years where there were four safeties.
Yep, there were four safeties in 6 years. And of course, my chagrin.
Also four safeties in 26 years. But but we just got that that great period. And if you're going bridge jumpers and you have something like that, and you're betting for significant amounts, that can dampen your ardor a bit.
Well, the good thing about with the lotteries is there are four drawings every single week, so you can average things out better than with the Super Bowl safeties.
Now, Harley Davidson. You've been writing about that a bit. Is there anything you can tell our listeners without being stoned by current Advantage players?
Well, yeah. It's dying, for one. I mean, they're taking it out. You know, lots of places have taken that game out. And yeah. I don't think because of Advantage play.
That's true. It's difficult to find games anymore. I think the Four Queens has several of them. But the gist of that game is that there are these meters that accumulate free games. And there's the small meter, a medium meter, and a big meter. And every time the player gets a certain symbol on the reels, it adds a free game to one of the meters. And when a particular event happens, the player will win one of these meters and get that many free games. And if there are enough free games banked in these progressive meters, and it quite clearly shows right there on the main sign how many free games are in each meter, then it becomes a positive bet. And my website explains exactly the formula for how many free games you would need in each meter to have an advantage.
Wouldn't that depend on what they have the payback set to?
Yes. And I think I assume a payback of a low one. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I would probably assume 90%. And so you're going to have to use a little bit of judgment with that. If you were playing at the Venetian, it's probably set lower than, say, the Four Queens, but... I know a lot of players just troll around going to every known Harley Davidson machine and seeing if there are enough free games in the meter. And if there are, they just play it until that meter hits. And like I said, there's plenty of information on Wizard of Odds about all the details.
You also see many players complaining about how long they got stuck on a particular Harley Davidson game waiting for it to hit.
Yes.
Sometimes it can take a very long time.
Yes, especially if it's the big meter, which doesn't hit as often. That I have like the last story I heard is somebody sank like $500 into the game trying to hit that big meter. But when he did, he recouped all his losses and then some. So yeah, it's a volatile game that you should have a good bankroll for.
All right, we're talking to Michael Shackelford, the Wizard of Arts.
You should probably have books on tape or something while you're playing to pass the time.
Yeah, are they suspicious when you're reading a book when you are playing a slot machine?
Yeah, I don't think they like that.
Well, I probably would be.
Okay, so we're going to take a commercial break. So we have more questions for Michael Shackelford when we return. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. The December promotions are now over. The half price everything ended December 23rd, and the point multipliers on Christmas ended on Christmas. So let's preview the January promotions. Beginning January 6th at 3 a.m., it's a $500,000 spin to win. Every Monday through Friday, I think that's supposed to be Monday through Thursday, earn up to four spins by playing $500 at slots or $2,000 at video poker per spin. In past years, the average spin was about $12, which means video poker players have a 0.6% boost, which means equivalent of three times points, for the first $8,000 they play 4 days a week for 4 weeks. On January 20th, Martin Luther King Day, there'll be a $32,000 hot seat promotion. Between 8 a.m. and midnight, approximately every 3 minutes, one person playing with their card inserted and having wagered at least $1 in the past minute receives $100 in free play. The next semester of free video poker classes will begin Tuesday, January 14th. First class will be Jacks or Better. It's in Silverado Lounge, which is right outside of Don Vito's restaurant. Everyone at least 21 years of age or older is welcome. BlackjackApprenticeship.com is an excellent site for those who wish to be successful at counting cards at blackjack. They have a variety of training programs. Colin Jones posts a number of free videos on YouTube where you can check out whether his style works for you. I went back and checked the archive and looked at several of them. Found it quite fascinating. It's basic stuff, but it's well presented and it's good. They have boot camps every several months where a couple days intensive on counting cards and being tested on it. He's helped out by working pros, and it's a good way to network, find out how good your game is. It's not cheap. It's usually $3,000 for the weekend, but players who've been through it and want to become good at counting cards at blackjack say it's worth it. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. An additional membership, the pro membership, is sold separately at $6.95 a month or $49.95 a year. If you also have the gold membership, there's a bundling, and so it's cheaper. Listeners who can get a free trial at videopoker.com/GWAE, they will get 100 hands for free to try it out. The biggest advantage of this software is that it's video poker software that corrects you on both quick quads and Ultimate X, including every pay schedule of triple play and five play Ultimate X. It's the only software out there that has them all. All right, we are back to Michael Shackelford, the Wizard of Odds.
Oh, I just want to briefly interject that I talked about Predicta.org and that $20 matching bonus. There is a link in the show notes for anyone who wants to pick up that $20 bonus.
Yes, I did not mention him specifically because I thought we'd already talked about it, but good. Very good.
May I interject a question?
Yes.
So about that hot seat promotion,
yes.
Would it improve your odds if you, say, put in a player card in, say, several machines and you just went by one at a time, like an assembly line, playing all of them?
Well, you have to play $1 per in the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who tried that with one penny at a time, it used to work, so they had the new rule. Possibly, especially if you're allowed to play on your spouse's card there. You're not allowed to play on a non-spouse's card other than your own.
I was thinking about just getting lots of duplicates of your own card.
I suspect that would help you, but I don't know that. It's a, playing two machines is no problem at all there. Playing six would stand out. and possibly you would get a tap on the shoulder. I don't know. But if you'd like to try a field trial on that, Michael, and come back and report it on your next visit, inquiring minds want to know.
Okay.
Speaking of field trials, there have been some games on field trial in Las Vegas since your last appearance. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I love field trial games. It always gives me something to do writing about them. And right now, there are currently four games on field trial in Las Vegas, which is much higher than average. So let me talk about them. The latest one is Vegas 3 Poker, which can be found at Harrah's. And this is kind of like a cross between three-card poker and Ultimate Texas Hold'em, the idea being to beat the player's three-card poker hand. So it starts with you getting three cards. At this point, the player may either make a raise bet equal to two times his ante or check. Then the dealer will deal one community card. And if you haven't already raised, then you can either fold or raise by one time your bet. And the dealer has some certain qualifying hand. But after you do all the math, the element of risk, meaning the house edge relative to the total amount that you bet, is a very low 0.41%. So that's an outstanding bet. That's maybe the best bet in the whole casino, depending upon their craps and blackjack rules. So if you play it properly, and by the way, no one knows what proper strategy is at this point, it's a great bet.
So both you and the dealer have three cards and there's one community card?
Yes.
And you want the best three-card poker hand out of the four?
Correct. Yep. So, and moving on, there's a new game at the Venetian called...
Wait, before we move on,
mm-hmm.
So you and the dealer share three and there's only one different card.
So you get your own, each the player and the dealer get your own three cards plus a community card.
Oh, so you share one card with the dealer and
yep.
You have three individual cards.
Okay. Correct.
That sounded backwards of what Richard said. Are you planning on working on a strategy on that?
My website indicates which hands you should make the big raise on, but I have yet to look into the small raise or fold decision, which I'm sure is very complicated.
Well, and the other thing is, until the game actually gets approved, so many of these games show up for a short trial and then are never seen again. So I don't know how much work you'd want to put into a full analysis when...
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I'm not going to analyze this game to death when it may never see another placement after this one.
Uh-huh. But given it is a 0.4% against the player,
mm-hmm.
It makes sense to go in and play it to encourage them to keep the game going.
Yes.
Well, that's always the question is... You know, do you kill it before someone else does and it dies quickly, or do you hope that it gets traction and shows up in multiple placements,
mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, if it were a game that could be beat.
I would just take it down.
Yeah, that's usually what most people would do.
but I don't think that low element of risk is going to be the reason the game fails if it does. I think it's a pretty well-designed game, but so much of... A new game's success is just whether or not players find it fun. And I haven't actually seen it yet, so I don't know about that fun factor, but yeah, but Ultimate Texas Hold'em and Texas Hold'em Bonus also have very low elements of risk, under 0.6%. So, but you may wonder, why are these games profitable with such a thin house advantage? And it's simple: player errors.
Oh, they play horribly.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely horribly. I think the player errors probably add at least 2% to that.
All right. So that's one out of four games.
Okay. Number two is called Prosperity Three Pictures, that can be found at the Venetian. And this is simply a Baccarat variant where first you look at the number of face cards in your hand. And if you have more face cards than the dealer, then you win. But if you both have the same number of face cards, then it comes down to the point values, and it's scored the same way as in Baccarat. But there's no drawing rules. Both the player and the banker hand get an automatic three cards, and you can't bet on either side. You can only bet on your own hand, and every player has his own hand.
How many players at the table?
I think it's six.
So 18 cards on the player side?
Yep. And it's
Is an ace considered a face card?
No, only jacks, queens, and kings. Uh-huh. So the 1-0 tens are not considered a face card. But bottom line there is a house advantage of 2.60%, which is way higher than Baccarat itself. So I can't recommend that game, but nevertheless, it's out there. And you may wonder, where does the house advantage come from? Because the rules are balanced with the player and the banker hand. It's that if the player wins with 6 points, he's only paid 1-2. So, any comments, questions on that one?
No.
Go ahead. Okay.
Number three is called Jackpot Hold'em. That can be found at the Sahara, formerly known as the SLS. And this is like Ultimate Texas Hold'em, except the big raise can only be 3 times the ante, not 4 times. But the dealer will expose one of the flop cards before the player needs to make that big raise decision. And all things considered, those two things roughly offset each other for an element of risk of 0.65%. And I find most players are very hesitant to make the big raise anyway. So I think that players may actually get more out of this game, given that they're probably hardly ever making the big raise. But here they're getting one more card of information in making that big raise decision.
And so you're saying bad players get a bigger...
Yeah, bad players would do better at it than... in regular Ultimate Texas Hold'em, is what I'm contending. So if you like Ultimate Texas Hold'em but you don't know how to play it, then this might be a good game for you.
Uh-huh. So not knowing how to play doesn't hurt you as much.
Maybe.
And so any other questions on that one?
Nope.
Okay. Finally is...
These are all only in one place, each of these
games.
Yes.
Yes. That's okay. The way the field trials in Nevada work is it's just at one place for... I think 60 to 90 days, and there's very strict rules about it. And yeah, so yeah, it's very strictly only at this one location per game. So finally is Paris Poker at, of course, the Paris. And this game is kind of like Caribbean Stud, where both the player and the dealer each get 5 cards, and there's a fold or a raise decision. But the humdinger to this game is that both sides may exchange their worst card for a joker. So there's going to be a lot more premium hands in this game. So, for example, if you had 4 to a flush, you could discard the offsuit card. It becomes a joker, and there you have your flush.
So... Right, or if you have, say, a pair of kings, you can discard your lowest card, and now you have 3 kings.
Absolutely.
Huh.
So the element of risk there, I get...
Do you have to discard it? If you're dealt the royal flush, do you have to throw it away?
That's a good question.
Turn it into straight flush by throwing away the ace?
I think you're not... Gosh, I would have to go to my site to remember.
Wait, if you throw away a card and get a joker, you still have a royal flush.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is it a wild royal, or it depends?
No,
on
all royals are the same. There's no penalty for a wild hand. So the element of risk on that one is 2.03%. So much higher than Jackpot Hold'em. and Vegas 3 Poker. So Vegas 3 and Jackpot Hold'em are the two I recommend.
So where does the house edge come in on this game with the five cards and the wild card?
It's, again, a qualifying rule, and I don't remember where it is. But if the dealer doesn't have at least a certain hand, then the ante will automatically push, and you're only betting the raise. So that's how a lot of these poker games have a house advantage, is either the qualifying rule or you're forced to make a bad bet like the blind bet in Ultimate Texas Hold'em.
All right. Thank you, Michael Shackelford.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
We normally have recommended at this time of the show. We actually have more things to be recommended, so we're taking more time with it today. So I'm going to start off with you, Richard. What is your recommendation?
Well, first of all, I want to say that one of our listeners sent in, they got inspired by our recommendations and sent in their own recommendations. Now, one of them was I had recommended a Planet Money episode last week, and he sent in a link to his favorite Planet Money episode, which I put on Twitter and on Facebook. So that you can find there. It's about index funds. But the other recommendation he had, which I think is a good one, is the Westcliff Airport Express. This is a public bus that picks you up at McCarran and will take you downtown for $2, which saves you $20 or $30 over the cost of like an Uber or a Lyft or a taxi or whatever. It does take about 15 minutes longer, but for $20 or $30, that seems like quite a good deal. So anyway, my recommendation, I have two to mention. I have a recommendation and a do not recommendation. Uh-huh. The recommendation is a free app called Duolingo. So I just picked this up and started learning Spanish, and it's really a great app, and you can do it on your phone or on your computer, and they've got lots of different languages you can learn, and it's all free, and I've really been enjoying it. So that's my recommendation.
Getting ready for a Mexican cruise or something?
No, what I really wanted to learn was Tagalog, but that is one language they do not have, so I went with Spanish. You know, exercising my brain. My do not recommendation is I went to see the show Run last night, which is at the Luxor. And I have to say, everyone in my family agreed it was the worst show that we have seen in Las Vegas. So, I would highly recommend you avoid seeing Run. Even though it's a Cirque du Soleil show, it is not like any of the other Cirque shows, and yeah, it was really bad. It's kind of patterned after an action movie, and when the show opened, I thought to myself, oh my god, I think I made this movie. Only the script is even worse than the ones I made. So, yeah, take a pass on Run
and run away from it.
Yes.
All right. Mike, you said you might have a recommended for us.
Yes. Yeah, speaking of shows, I recently saw The Magic of Jen Kramer at the Westgate, and I really like this show. I am kind of an amateur magician myself, so I try to see all the magic shows, but I really love this show for Jen Kramer herself. She's a very cute young woman, graduate of Yale. She's very engaging of the audience, very sweet. If I were 25 years younger and single, I think I would fall in love with this woman. Now, the magic itself was mostly tricks I had seen before and knew the secret behind them. But nevertheless, I'm sure I could watch her show over and over. And it's just the way she delivers these tricks that I find so natural and engaging of the audience. And tickets for it are quite cheap. I think that they probably have difficulty filling up the showroom. I got my tickets at one of the websites, I think Half Price Tickets, and I got VIP tickets for $25 each. So,
oh wow, that's
yeah.
Cheap.
And after the show, she meets with the audience and poses for pictures, and they don't shake you down to buy pictures or, you know, buy something to meet her. You know, anyone can do it. She's happy to meet anyone. So yeah, I and it's super family friendly too. So if you're looking for something you can take your grandmother to, you would be totally safe.
By the way, speaking of magic, Teller of Penn and Teller is in the hospital right now. He had back surgery. So the show at the Rio at the moment is called Penn and Friends while Teller is out. And so he has Matt King with him, and then he's also going to have Piff the Magic Dragon in with him. So, you know, I haven't seen them together with Penn, but they're all great, and Matt King's show is one that I recommend to people all the time. So, anyway, if you're into magic, that's another one you might want to check out.
Very good.
And yeah, sorry to interrupt you. I was going to say, I think that's a great suggestion, because I've seen Penn and Teller twice. And although they do mix up their show from time to time, I think it would be a fresh thing to see some different magicians there. And I certainly wish Penn a quick recovery, but
Teller was the one recovering. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, just my two cents.
Uh-huh. So he, for those of you, Peller's the one who doesn't speak, but he actually can speak, and so he could say ow when it hurts.
Yeah.
Okay. My recommend is Al's Oyster Bar at South Point. I have fallen in love with their pan roast. I have no idea what a pan roast is, but I love it there. For bargain searching people, they from until they open until so like 11 a.m. to 2. It's a they have a variety of lunch specials for under $10. If you're a senior on Monday, everything is half price if you use your points. So you get a filling meal for $5 if you're a senior and have points. So that's a good deal. So thank you again, Michael Shackelford. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.